Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyers. Hold you up.
You know, there are nations that spurn our freedom, yet yearn for our innovation, that seek to corrupt our institutions, exploit our openness, and steal the products of American ingenuity. Foreign adversaries use our university system. They use our local governments, research institutions, and companies to intimidate, influence, and steal their way to a strategic advantage. They set up foreign propaganda missions in the United States under the guise of benign-sounding cultural agreements and twist the utopic notion of international exchange into a weapon of coercion and bribery.
I had not heard very much from current Speaker of the Florida House, Chris Sprouls, before, but he can spin a word or two. I love it. And this announcement yesterday about the initiative to push back against Chinese infiltration of our institutions of higher learning, our businesses, our government through cultural exchange programs, this espionage, technological, intellectual property theft that they have been engaged in for a long time. I'm glad to see Florida push back on this.
Their agents work under the cloak of darkness, enact their schemes, but today we work to bring sunshine and transparency to combat those shadowy tactics. Their spies will be met with justice and their deception with accountability. That sounds like an Ian Fleming novel, but in fact, here in Florida, it is very real. China is engaged in an aggressive propaganda and espionage campaign right here in the state of Florida.
And I will confess that when I first started listening to him and Governor DeSantis talk about this yesterday, I realized that I had an incoherency in my own thinking, that on the one hand, I knew China was always doing stuff like this, and yet somehow it seemed to always be against the country as opposed to against any particular, like, Florida institution. Of course, when I thought about it, I'm like, well, if it's going to be against the country, it's going to have to be against particular businesses, particular institutions, particular governmental bodies. I mean, it's obviously going to have to be somewhere, and it's apparently all over Florida, like I'm sure it is true in many other states as well.
You can look no further than some of our most prestigious research institutions. The University of Florida, one of the almost the top five research institutions in the United States of America. How long ago, four researchers from the UF were discovered to have undisclosed, inappropriate relationships with China, with the Chinese government. One of those researchers in biomedical devices was recently indicted by a federal grand jury who worked in biomedical sciences. There was also a professor in artificial intelligence involved in an inappropriate relationship, many of whom with monetary relationships and shadow laboratories housed in the People's Republic of China.
Unbelievable.
While researchers at the University of Florida were looking into those individuals, their computers were cyber attacked and crashed.
So we're investigating the people that actually were conducting spying and espionage. And while doing the investigation against the spies, the computers, they get hacked and they get crashed. I mean, we're in this war. The only question is whether we're playing or not, whether we're fighting or not, right? So yesterday, Representative Grawl, who's going to run the bill in the House, introduced some of the elements of it. And, of course, that was Chris Sprouls, the Speaker, and Governor DeSantis. I played his clips earlier, but I'll play them in a second here. This is what it does.
Our bill will require three main things. Institutions of higher learning, public agencies, and political subdivisions will disclose all foreign gifts above $50,000. Any private entity applying for a state grant or contract will disclose whether they are working with specific countries of concern.
Good.
And it will prohibit state agencies, political subdivisions, public schools, and state colleges and universities from entering agreements or accepting donations to promote the language and culture of Syria, Iran, North Korea, China, Venezuela, Cuba, and Russia.
Good. Good. My only question, and I mentioned this in Future News briefly, is when I look at this, I start to think, hey, is this more of a federal issue? Well, if the feds aren't going to do something, you know, the state needs to do what it can do. And every part of this makes sense to me, because at the base, it's really just information. We want to know when anybody connected to China or these other countries is giving more than $50,000 to a university, or is giving more than $50,000 to a governmental entity, or if you are a state contractor or you're getting a grant from the state and you get $100,000, you just have to disclose that. We just want to find out where the money is.
Further, we'll require anyone seeking a grant or contract from the state for more than $100,000 to disclose any contract with, donation from, or grant received from 7 countries of concern.
And that makes sense. I mean, it definitely makes sense. So Florida is going to take action to protect our intellectual property, our businesses, our governmental entities, our research institutions from this ongoing technological intellectual espionage being conducted by the Chinese and others.
We need to take action, stand firm against the Chinese Communist Party and foreign influence and interference in American research, education, and public affairs. Today, Florida will take a leading role by proposing important steps to address past, current, and future concerns of the Chinese Communist Party and other foreign influence in the governmental, economic, and academic affairs of our state. We'll place strategic safeguards against foreign influence by closing loopholes, strengthening institutional vetting, and applying common sense protections for Florida schools, government entities, and more.
Good. Good. I totally support this. On the other hand, I will say the timing of this, as I was listening to this press conference yesterday, I think there's a subtext here, and it's not buried all that deep. Florida takes action against China sounds an awful lot like, hey, guys, I'm running for president. Right? I mean, come on. Clearly. And it comes the day after CPAC closes. I mean, clearly. Maybe I'm wrong, but this looks for all the world like the beginning of the Presidential Exploratory Committee, the first ad, you know, and it's almost like if at the end of the press conference it had said, you know, I'm Donald Trump and I approve this ad. You know, I'm Governor DeSantis and I approve this, right? Because it's a national issue, even though it's being done at the, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that's what I heard when I was listening to this yesterday. 716 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
And yeah, so on Highway 98, Navarre Parkway westbound, there is an accident that's causing road closures at the moment. Eastbound delayed as a result of this. If you need to get around, you could take Whispering Pines Drive down East River Drive on down Pawnee Drive back to Highway 98, and that will get you around. Gulf Breeze Parkway is also delayed as you're going eastbound and westbound. Eastbound backed up to College Parkway, while also if you're traveling westbound, it's backed up over to Bay Woods Road. And then, of course, northbound going across Garson is delayed until you get around Land, Avalon Boulevard. It appears that it's checking in clear on through the toll plaza, and the rest of Avalon Boulevard in both directions flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110 checking in clear along with 9 Mile Road. Seeing no delays along Mobile Highway through Cervantes on up through Scenic, and no delays report from either gate of NES Pensacola. And this report, it is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Over 40 years of service, you're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Why do you open a restaurant? You open a restaurant because you want to feed people, because you think it makes people happy and you like doing it. Why do you open a plumbing shop? Because you want to help people solve their water issues, right? Why do you open a real estate agency? Because you want to sell homes, right? None of these things. You don't do a restaurant, you don't start a plumbing company, you don't start a real estate agency because you want to deal with health benefits, because you want to provide payroll systems, because you want to stay up nights thinking about the best HR tools for your company. No, that stuff you have to do, but it's stuff that no business owner loves to do because you got into business to do the other stuff, even though this stuff is necessary. Well, except one, Torgerson Causey. They actually love to do that stuff. They're into it. They like it. I know it's a little weird, but they're good at it. because they love it, because they know that that business helps your business do what you got into business to do. So whether it's benefits or it's payroll or it's HR or it's just options, you know, they started doing our benefits here at News Radio, and they gave us options, which was nice. It was nice to have options. Locally owned and operated, 20 years in business, helping people just like you run your business better. 433-9996. Get a no obligation review of your program or check out their website at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Vaccine distribution centers could start taking delivery of Johnson & Johnson's single-dose coronavirus vaccine today. It's the first one-shot vaccine approved for use in the country. Another woman comes forward claiming inappropriate conduct against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
33-year-old Anna Rock telling the New York Times Cuomo was inappropriate with her at a crowded wedding reception in 2019, putting his hand on her bare lower back, which she then removed. Rock says the governor then put his hands on her cheeks and asked if he could kiss her.
That's NBC's Ann Thompson. Cuomo already facing allegations of harassment by two former aides. Seth Rogen rolling out a new business venture. Emphasis on rolling out.
Oh, I know where this is going.
The actor, writer, producer announcing the launch of his own marijuana company called Houseplant. He joins the likes of Snoop Dogg, Tommy Chong, and Jay-Z in the ranks of high-profile cannabis entrepreneurs.
You said high-profile?
Yes, I did.
On purpose? Hey, oh, okay.
I'm not quite that clever, okay.
I hate to do this, and I want you to hang out here for a second, Mark. Yeah. I just want you to hear this. Have you seen the new Rick Scott video for Read the Bill?
I have not.
Okay. But so, look, I like Senator Scott. I probably agree with Senator Scott 90% of the time. Somebody made a really bad judgment decision about this video. The Read the Bill Act would require all bills in Congress to give people enough time to read the bill, which is a sensible thing.
Sure.
And I think part of it is they'd have to certify that they had read the bill before they voted on it, which is also a very sensible thing. What is not a sensible thing is to have Governor Scott, Senator Joni Ernst, and Roger Marshall read the bill set to this music. I am not making this up. It is straight off of Rick Scott's YouTube channel.
I'm proud to join my colleagues to make sure members of Congress actually read a bill before casting a vote on it. Pretty simple. It's time for politicians in Washington to get to work for the American people and read the bill.
I can't even hear what he's saying over the music. It's so distracting.
Amending the standing rules of the Senate to prohibit the consideration of legislation in the Senate unless the text of the legislation that will be considered has been made publicly available in electronic form for a mandatory minimum review period.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I'd also like to know how many takes they had to do for Senator Scott to get through that.
And it's not just him. It's all three of them.
Each senator shall self-certify that the senator has read a bill, joint resolution, or conference report before voting on the bill, resolution, or conference report.
It's like 1950s Jamaican elevator music or
and
something.
Like
I can't even make it out.
Yeah, I read
and
it.
And 72 hours after the text of the bill, joint resolution, or conference report, which will be considered, is first made publicly available in electronic form. Read the bill.
Read the bill.
Read the bill.
Congress has a responsibility to their taxpayers to read a bill before voting on it.
Read the bill.
Oh, my God. I'm 100%.
It does.
I'm 100% on board with this legislation, and I'm 100% opposed to the production of this video. Yeah,
they lifted that music from a 50s something.
It's a Jamaican elevator song.
It reminds me of this. Oh, bear with me. It's Christmas.
Happy holidays to you.
I think
I just
nailed
it.
Okay, let's
read the bill.
read the bill.
Oh, it's 100% the same riff. I don't think it's that song, but it's the same. Play what you got again.
Wow.
Do you have it queued up to that spot? No, that's not it. No,
it's coming back.
We had the moment. Oh, there it is. Okay, now from the video.
Read the bill.
Read the bill.
Davis is a musical genius. Look, everybody makes mistakes. The poor staff or whoever picked this out, I don't know. 726 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Now time for traffic on the fives.
I'm going to go with, it was one of his hip young interns. Like, you know what? This needs,
I love,
a little,
how you're like doing your, this you're, up. You're doing the, like, the Oompa Loompa, or not the Oompa, the Munchkin dance with your arms while you do that.
Hey, I will say, I was getting into the beat. I liked it.
Well, it was very calming, and but you couldn't hear what they were saying at all because you're so distracted by
so
the music.
Loud. Yeah. Well, anyways, there is that accident on Highway 98, Navarre Parkway, westbound, and it is closed off in the westbound direction. It is very delayed eastbound. I was told by a caller that they are rerouting traffic through the Walmart parking lot, and you can get back onto Highway 98 from there. They also said that it looked like that they were in the process of cleaning up the accident, but in the meantime, they are rerouting traffic through the Navarre Walmart parking lot. Traveling along Gulf Breeze Parkway eastbound going towards Garcon Point Bridge is delayed, backed up on over towards College Road, and westbound backed up to Baywoods Drive. Going northbound across Garcon Point Bridge is also slow moving throughout the entire direction of the bridge, and it'll clear up once you go through the toll plaza. You will be met with delays on Avalon Boulevard around Shady Bayou Road, however. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, seeing no delays along 9 Mile Road, and both gates at NAS Pensacola are flowing smoothly. And this report's brought to you by the ECUA Recycle Coach app. It's here, it's free, and recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation collection reminders, you can report a problem, and so much more. Download it today. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You light me up inside like a of July. Whenever you're around, I always seem to smile, and people ask me how. Well, you're the reason why I'm dancing in the mirror and singing in the shower.
An American Airlines pilot reported that during a flight over New Mexico, he saw a long cylinder object come close to his plane. Sorry, that was just our engine, said United. Who fell overboard survived for 14 hours in the Pacific Ocean by floating on a large piece of garbage. Sorry, that was our other engine, said United.
Twofer, way to go, way to go. And then Colin Jost's Weekend Update, I did finally watch the SNL, which is always disappointing. I got to set my expectations lower, I really do. But okay, everyone, you know, Weekend Update has got the good stuff and nobody else does.
Disney Plus has placed a disclaimer in front of all episodes of The Muppet Show, warning viewers that it features offensive content. I just want to ask, who's about to watch The Muppets, sees a warning about graphic content, and doesn't watch it? If anything, you'd be like, I gotta see this episode of The Muppets.
Right? You gotta see it now. Oh, man. You know, when even Saturday Night Live is making fun of your cancel culture, you know you've gone. And this whole business of Dr. Seuss, I mean, I just... Lots of stuff to talk about. Always be joyous. God's still on the throne, no matter how bad it gets, how dumb it gets around you. That's still always true.
You know more because you listen to Brian Kilmeade, 11 to 1 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I hope you're not stuck in traffic, but if you are, I'm glad you're with us. You know, I understand. And I understand it's not pleasant, but hey, let's make it interesting while you're doing it, right? We've got Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. He joins us now. Chief Walker, Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
You ought to have Tommy on once in a while, which I know you will anyway, but just so I can get more confused. At least with him, I can still call him chief. He was chief before, and now he's chief again. So you guys had what didn't Chance Gardner do? This story, this is craziness. Tell me what was he doing, and how'd you guys get him arrested?
We did a lot. A couple of weeks ago, we had information that he was committing some vehicle burglaries. At one point, he stole a gun from a state law enforcement officer while they were parked at Mike's Gun Shop on 29. So we knew this guy was a felon, and we also knew that he was stealing weapons. And then I guess the night before last, he actually took a stolen vehicle and tried to ram through the doors of Mike's Gun Shop, the back doors, trying to gain entry to the gun shop.
Wow.
And you can only imagine what he was trying to get at the gun shop. So we actually had him featured on our Wheel of Fugitives, and we put his information out there for a lot of the media to put out, because we were looking for him. We knew that he was on a bit of a crime spree, and we wanted people to let us know kind of where he was. Well, due to good work from one of our deputies, Deputy Vaught, stolen vehicle, and that was occupied by Mr. Gardner. As I mentioned before, he had numerous felony warrants in driving in a stolen car. And as I said before, we knew that he was stealing, or at least had stolen guns in the past. So we tried to stop him. Being the criminal that he is, he decided to run from us, flee in the car, the stolen car that he was in. Led a couple of deputies on a chase throughout the area of Kim Strand, around Kingsfield, and then north on Kim Strand towards the entrance of Ascend, where our deputy, Sergeant Newton, was able to bump him a little bit and kind of get him in a position where we could surround him, and we ended up arresting him without further incident. So he's charged with all the warrants, in addition to fleeing, and then backed into one of our cruiser cars, so he damaged one of our cars as well. So, you know, we're just glad that everyone came out of this safe. No one was injured, and we got a criminal off the street.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you say, you know, he had stolen a gun, allegedly, and also that, you know, that he was the concern that he was armed. And certainly somebody who's willing to flee and somebody who's willing to bump a cop car, you don't know what they might not be unwilling to do. And so you have to treat that with, I mean, every level of caution. So good work being able to bring him into custody. That's, wow. But a whole string of crimes connected with him. That's just, the gun store, were they able to reopen? Do you know how badly were they damaged?
Yeah, I don't believe they were damaged very badly. We had some surveillance, and that's why we knew that he was still out there committing burglaries. A couple of days before that, we had four vehicle burglaries, and one car was stolen. So that's why we developed him as a suspect, because the deputies, again, whenever they saw the recent surveillance video of him, they recognized him as a person, you know, Chance Gardner. So, again, we solved many, or cleared at least, many vehicle burglaries. And hopefully, you know, he'll just answer to the crimes that we believe he committed.
All right. You also, I guess you guys had an arrest of a couple of people connected to a pretty involved CARES Act fraud case, right?
Yeah, if y'all remember back in December, we made some arrests on some people that were doing some fraudulent, or applying for fraudulent CARES Act grants. We arrested a number of people, and at the time we said that this is a kind of a big scheme, not just here in Escambia County, but nationwide. But the ones that we're talking about, we continue to investigate, and we end up arresting a father and son duo, an Antonio Slocum, who's 34, and his 19-year-old son, Antonio Slocum Jr. What they had done, they and some other people, they stole someone's identity. They stole a lady's identity, and then they continued to apply for CARES Act grants. They were rejected for a few of them before they finally received one, and they opened up an account. It's really a convoluted and complicated situation. But the bottom line is Antonio Slocum Jr. and Sr. Were charged with fraud and swindling over $50,000, using ID of another person without their consent, money laundering. And then we also got them for use of a illegal use of a credit card. So
wow.
I will tell you that our investigators have done a bang up job the last couple of months trying to piece together all these frauds that were taking place. We've made many arrests, and we anticipate making many more because the investigation continues.
And this is the thing. Look, we knew anytime there's massive amounts of money being slopped around, there are going to be people who try to take advantage of that. And, I imagine, as you say, there have been numerous cases like this, numerous reports like this, and it's kept your fraud investigators pretty busy. Is that right?
It really has. And, again, it's not just in Escambia County, but we have had a couple of investigators working this for the last couple of months. And to say that But, you know, there's a lot of people involved is an understatement because, again, we've arrested a few people in December, now a few more here in late February, and the investigation does continue. We'll probably try to piece this thing together, but there's a lot of money involved. There are a lot of people involved. And as I said before, we're going to continue the investigations.
Is there anything you'd tell people who are concerned that their own identity might be used in this way? Is there a simple thing you want people to do to check to make sure their identity is not being abused with CARES Act fraud or any other kind of fraud?
Yeah, I think as you just said, it's not just CARES Act fraud. We obviously want people to not become a victim of identity theft. So we, you know, some common sense things is to make sure that your Social Security number, your IDs are shredded if you no longer need them. Make sure you keep track of your own bank accounts and the purchases that are made from them. And these are just, you know, some of the simpler procedures to keep, you know, make sure that you're not a victim of this identity theft. And because of CARES Act and the people that are continually using other names, false names, in this case, false identities, it's even, it becomes more of an issue with people being victims of identity theft. And then they take that and not just open credit cards in your name. Now they're applying for grants. So, again, if you just monitor your Social Security number and your ID cards and then monitor your bank accounts, it will go a lot towards preventing yourself, you from being a victim.
Absolutely. We're talking to Chip Simmons. He is the sheriff in Escambia County. Chip, hang on for me for just 1 second. Let me get a quick traffic break with Davis Allen, Traffic on the Fives.
Yeah, we have a number of accidents in the area. So let's start off with what's going on in Navarre. We got westbound traffic still closed off in front of the Walmart. They are rerouting traffic through the Walmart parking lot to get you back on the Highway 98. Eastbound direction is delayed as a result of this. Gulfbreeze Parkway delayed in both directions as you're trying to get onto Garcon Point Bridge, which is delayed north and southbound. And now taking a look at Pine Forest Road over at 9.5 Mile Road, there is an accident over there going southbound, and they are rerouting traffic as a result of this accident. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, you know, one of the big news notes that happened since you and I last talked is that the United States Attorney Larry Keith is stepping aside, as I mentioned yesterday, to Chief Deputy Tucker from Santa Rosa. This is somewhat normal when administrations change, but Larry Keefe was a great friend of law enforcement by my read on the outside. What will his changing his leaving office mean to you guys? And is there anything you want to say about him as he leaves office?
Yeah, we had a great relationship with Larry Keefe. As you remember, during the NAS terrorist attack, Mr. Keefe and I had several conversations. Then Sheriff Morgan and myself and Mr. Keefe had a number of long-standing conversations in a relationship that because the FBI was taking, the federal custody of the investigation. And I have nothing but respect for Mr. Keefe. We had a lot of investigations that we worked together. We have a great relationship with the U.S. Attorney's Office. While I can't say that it was not expected, again, because of the change in administration, we had held out hope that, because he had done a good job and because he had such wide support throughout the entire region, that they may allow him to stay on as the attorney, the U.S. attorney. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So I think that, the work will go on. I think even Mr. Keefe will say that they're in their offices. They have a number of great people, and I would agree with that assessment. I want to say that, Larry Keefe has been a friend to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. He's done a good job, for the citizens of the Northern District of Florida.
Yeah, it's a sad day, and it doesn't sound like they consulted y'all much either, which is unfortunate because it would think that serving local law enforcement and making sure that their concerns are at least aired would be a key thing. Again, this happens under other administrations too. It's not unique to the Biden administration, but it stinks. I'll be honest, it stinks. He was really, really good. Last question I wanted to ask you about this week, Sheriff, is it's kind of been a topic of concern for us the last few days ever since we talked to Judge Danheiser on Friday about the fact that there have been no civil trials conducted in our area in District 1 for a year, that criminal trials have not been happening, jury trials have not been happening, except just recently they started up again. And I just wanted to, your perspective as now the sheriff, okay, and of course you were the chief deputy while all this was happening last year. What is this doing to your law enforcement officers, if anything? Now, you don't run the jail in Escambia like they do in Santa Rosa, but how is this affecting your law enforcement operations?
Well, you know, I think we all kind of work together in this. We have our piece, and then the judiciary has their piece. And you spoke to Judge Dan Heiser and some of the concerns that he's had. I think from a citizen standpoint is that individuals are not able to go to trial. And from a sheriff's office standpoint, really our part is, as we talked, you know, at length today even, about arresting people that are responsible for criminal activity and allowing those cases to move through the court proceeding. So I don't know that it really affects the sheriff's office that much. We work at the courthouse and as bailiffs at the courthouse, but it has been kind of slow up there, obviously, as you mentioned.
Right.
Our biggest issue is going to be whenever they really start to do trials again, how we're going to be able to handle the large, backlog of cases and what we have to do from a security standpoint, to assign more deputies up there, because the anticipation is that there's going to be to keep up with this backlog, a lot of court activity going on, and we're just bracing for that.
Absolutely. Well, I hope it works out well, and we got to get these trials going again. It's just that simple. Sheriff Simmons, thanks so much for the time. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Look forward to talking to you again next week, sir.
You bet. Take care.
7:50 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Davis, in a day that has been full of weird, unfortunate news, I have more bad news.
All right.
You ready?
I'm holding my breath.
The downtown Blue Angels Classic on the one side with the F-18 Hornet and the Cradle of Naval Aviation with the Wings of Gold on the other side, Water Tower.
Yes.
That is currently transformed into the Pensacola Monument to Sewing Thimble. You know what's going to be on it when they take the cover off? The ECUA logo.
What?
Yeah, they're putting three ECUA logos on it. That's it.
This was their opportunity to beach ball this, like
yes,
you do at the beach.
Yes.
This can be a monument to Pensacola.
It could
what?
Be anything, and they're putting three ECUA logos on it.
I don't care about that.
And nobody does.
Look,
no,
shout out to the ECUA.
Terrible.
They keep my water
yes.
going. But what?
I know.
You don't need a monument.
I know. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm so sorry, but there it is. And I asked them if they even solicited, like, corporate sponsorship or anything. No, none of that. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
First shipments of Johnson & Johnson single-dose coronavirus vaccine could start arriving at vaccination centers as soon as today, the first one-shot vaccine to get approval. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin may face an additional charge for his role in the death of George Floyd.
Less than a week before Chauvin's trial, prosecutors are pushing to reinstate a third-degree murder charge against him, in addition to the second-degree murder and manslaughter charges he's already facing. An appeals court is considering the extra charge.
That's NBC's Gabe Gutierrez. Americans still lured by the call of spring break, even during a global pandemic. The number one search destination this year, according to travel website Expedia. Apparently, they planned Senator Cruz's trip. Cancun.
Sorry, you got me. It's good. Even though I knew it was coming, it still got me. It's funny.
All right, just Mark. Can't resist.
I know. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. I needed that laugh, too. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, taking a look at some college basketball news. I'm in college basketball fever considering the Sun Belt tournament will be here starting on Friday. Looking forward to that. But in the top 25 poll, Michigan slides up a spot to number two, but they are not number one as Gonzaga. They're undefeated and remain number one. Andrew, good news for your alma mater of Illinois. They're coming in at number four. Well, number three is Baylor. They suffered their first loss of the year over the weekend. Alabama is a great team this year, by the way. They're at number five. Very rare this happens, but they're tied with West Virginia for the fifth ranking. And Florida State, they're going to be sticking with their head coach for about 5 years longer. Leonard Hamilton locked in with a 5-year contract extension that'll go through the 2025 season. He's 72 years old. He's currently in his 19th season with the Seminoles. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot. Now let's go in with our traffic on the fives as taking a look at what's going on Pine Forest Road. It appears to be a mess in the area of 9.5 mile roads. I heard had received received an earlier report that they are rerouting traffic. It appears that you could possibly go through West 9.5 mile Road and take that on over to Highway 29. That's what it's looking like. It's going on. Also, there was an earlier accident on I-10 eastbound that has since cleared up just beyond Pine Forest. But taking a look at Navarre Parkway, we are still seeing delays in front of the Walmart westbound. They have closed off a portion of westbound. Eastbound is delayed, and they are rerouting westbound traffic through the Walmart parking lot. So just expect those delays. And still seeing northbound and southbound delays along Garcon Point Bridge. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Vaccinations are continuing. The J&J vaccine is supposed to be shipping out within the next day or two. The four federal sites are supposed to be set up in Florida tomorrow with Department of Defense personnel staffing them. We don't know from where exactly. John Kirby didn't have details yesterday. And the number of hospitalizations locally has now dropped to a months-long low of 68, and it continues to decline. This is all good news. Keep up the mitigation efforts. All the experts are saying the same thing. Don't relax now or cases will tick back up. The point is to keep doing what you're doing. It's working. We'll be back in just a minute.